engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. An argument broke out among the apostles about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Happy Constitution Day to all my fellow Americans. This is the day when, just as on July 4th, Independence Day, we celebrate the ratification of the Declaration of Independence in Congress on July the 4th, 1776. So today is the corresponding day when the Constitution is signed, sometime later, right, 1787. And I have a copy of it right here. In fact, you'll see it's rather battered copy I carried around in my suit jacket pocket all the time. And along with my little pocket Bible, a little pocket Bible, and the Constitution, citizenship in heaven, citizenship on earth. This is really a profound document. It's genius. This, together with the Declaration of Independence, just ingenious, the way that our founders set this up. And this is a day we celebrate because, you know, and I'm going to tie this in with today's readings because there's a very strong tie-in. The Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers broke away from tyranny. They said no human authority, no king, no human institution at all can have authority over human rights, can have absolute authority or ownership of a human being. And my goodness, the king of England was breaking that left and right, and just tyrannical behavior, interfering with human dignity and human rights. So they broke away from tyranny, independence from the tyrant king, but dependence on God. The Declaration of Independence, it makes it very, very clear. Dependence upon Almighty God. And we see this document come along after that declaration. That declaration lays out the principles, okay, that brought these people together to declare their independence and the starting of a new country. And then this Constitution was the how-to document. Okay, now that we've declared our independence, we're going to start afresh, a new form of government. It's ours, it's under God. So here are the principles according to which we're going to live. Now, how do we make it work? How do we govern from day to day? And that's what this document does, laying out, for example, right from the beginning, Article 1, that it is the Congress that makes the laws. Article 2, talking about the presidency and the executive branch, is the executive branch that will enforce the laws. And then Article 3 is all about the courts and how the court system works. And on it goes with various other provisions, seven articles. And then, of course, we have the amendments. After that, this is the Constitution of the United States. Now, it's fascinating to understand and to recall, Right now, today, every state legislator in America, every judge, every federal legislator of both the House and the Senate, every federal judge and every president swears an oath to uphold and defend this document, the Constitution of the United States. It's in the oath of office for all those public officials. I will uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. And that oath is taken to this day, and the oath which a legislator who would or a judge who would be sworn in today takes is to the very same Constitution that was ratified on this day, signed on this day in 1787. We are the only country in the world operating today under its original Constitution. The only country in the world, including the Vatican. We are the only one who still has as operative its original Constitution. Now, that doesn't mean that the Constitution can't adjust to the times. That's why we have amendments. But we never had to start over in all our history as a country. We did not have to start over. We didn't have to scrap it and start from scratch. We didn't have to say, oh, those founders, they made a big mistake setting up the government this way. Let's change it to that way. And we've always had a peaceful transition of power. No matter what the political differences have been, sure, we had a civil war, but it didn't tear the nation asunder to the point of no repair, did it? I mean, we were very divided, and we are very divided now in many different ways. But we've been able to maintain, through it all, one country under one constitution. Amazing. Now, how did the founders write this work of genius? These were men who followed the readings. They knew the readings, and they followed the readings that we heard today. These were men immersed in the Word of God. A lot of these founders, these signers of the Declaration and of the Constitution, we would consider them today to be seminary professors. They were well-versed in the Bible, deep people of faith, who publicly said numerous times, we have all kinds of writings from the Founding Fathers, that they submit themselves and their work and the work of this government to the supreme tribunal of Jesus Christ. They understood what the Word of God said, as James expressed it so well in that first reading. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Of course they had that attitude, because think about it. They were declaring independence from a king who had just the opposite attitude. The king from whom they were declaring their independence was like what Jesus is complaining about in the gospel. You know, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, taxing you and interfering with you and putting judges and laws without your consent and interfering with your daily activities and taking your property and taking your lives. That's a despot. That's a tyrant. That's a king with no respect for human dignity. And that's what these men were and their people were suffering under. And they said, enough of this. Why? Because we are human beings endowed, as the Declaration says, right? That's the document of principles. The Constitution is the how-to document. That document of principles says, our rights and our dignity, our right to life, comes from God. It cannot be tampered with by a king. He can't take away our rights. He can't interfere with our freedom. Government, that's why the Declaration says, is instituted to secure these rights. So the Declaration of Independence says the rights are given by God and government is instituted to secure those rights. And the Constitution comes along and says, okay, how is government going to secure those rights? So first of all, we see an attitude of humility. You know, these men said, look, we're servants. If we elect a president, if we elect a Congress, if we put judges on a court, these are servants of the people. These are equals of the people. Now you see, and this is how Christianity imbues and revolutionizes politics from the pagan notion that Jesus is putting out here. Oh, you know, they lord it over them. Those in authority, they make their authority felt. The pagan notion of government is the law flows from the mouth of the king. King gets up, decides to issue a decree. Nobody has any input to it or recourse against it. King issues a decree. The law flows from the mouth of the king. But in the kind of republic that these men set up, that constitution that they signed on this day, they set up a system of government in which the people matter. The people have a voice. The people govern themselves. Why? Look at what Jesus said. I confer a kingdom on you. I am making you sons and daughters of the King of Kings. We have a dignity, first of all, by our own humanity, but then also by our redemption in Christ, we have direct access to the King. We have our voice matters. So this Christian concept of how God exalts the human person revolutionizes politics. So no longer do you have the law flowing from the mouth of the king. Now you have the law flowing from the consent of the people, the consent of the governed. Those that we elect, and we are in the midst of this election cycle now, early voting has already begun in some states by the absentee process, and that will just increase now every day. As we conduct this voting process, we're engaged in a process by which we are governing ourselves. So let the greatest among you, Jesus says, be the servant of all. These men on this day created this document, or signed it, took a while to create it. But they put together this document as a tool of service, not of domination. A tool of service, because the people we elect, they work for us, not the other way around. They put this together, furthermore, with the principles of the Word of God right before their minds. Scripture tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Scripture tells us that we are weak and divided between among ourselves and among each other, that our passions, and James talks about it in today's first reading. You kill, you envy, you fight, you wage war, you ask, but you ask wrongly. You want to spend what you ask for on your passions. He talks about the fact that, you know, we're affected by original sin and by our personal sins. We're out of whack. We're out of balance. The passions take over. Paul says it to the Romans, right? When he writes his letter to the Romans, and in chapter 7, he says, you know, I don't know what's going on here. I know what's right, and I find myself doing what is wrong. Well, these founders of America knew that. They knew that this was the human condition. And they had just broken away from a tyrant. So they said, we better set up a system of government that takes into account and that provides some kind of safety valve, some kind of buffer against this human tendency to exalt ourselves, first of all, in pride and arrogance, to lord it over those that we govern, like Jesus said in the gospel, the pagans do. And to be dragged around by our passions, like James says happens, we better build in some safeguards. And so that's why we've got not one or two, but three branches of government. And that's why when you study this document, I want to invite you, my fellow Americans, reread this document today. Just go on Google, download the Constitution of the United States. Better yet, buy a pocket version, carry it around with you in your pocket or your purse. Read it, reread it. It's not that long. And what you'll see is that it takes account of the fact of what Scripture says about our human passions and our human weakness. And it said, look, if we invested all decision-making power in either a one president, or we invested all decision-making power in the Congress, or if we invested all authority in the courts, well, sooner or later, sinful human beings in those positions are going to take advantage of that power. Power corrupts, as the saying goes. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The founders were so sensitive to this trained as they were in the Word of God, that they said, no, we're going to give power to the president, we're going to give power to the Congress, and we're going to give power to the courts, but they also have a certain power over each other. They can rein each other in when need be. Congress passes a law, but the president has to sign the bill. The president can also veto the bill, but the Congress can also override a veto if it has enough consent, enough consensus. A court can strike down a law. Meanwhile, the lawmaking body can limit the power of the courts. All three branches have certain powers over the others, and that's because of human nature, and that's because our founders understood not only human experience, which we all understand just by living, but the Word of God. Let's celebrate Constitution Day. Let's be grateful for this instrument of peaceful self-governance. And let's keep in mind and in heart what our founders said about the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the role of the church and the role of religion. They said this experiment in self-governance cannot possibly succeed. Cannot possibly succeed unless religion and morality have a prominent place in our lives. Because if a people are going to govern themselves, they've got to know the difference between right and wrong. This election is so critically important, brothers and sisters. We are releasing, we have released the new party comparison piece. Votinginfo.net is where you can get it. Votinginfo.net, you will find a document that shows you the positions of our two major political parties. By the way, political parties are not established by the Constitution. Political parties are permitted. But the founders also realized the danger of factions emerging in our country that could get in the way of effective self-governance. So we have to be careful. We have to understand the direction the parties are going and the positions they're taking. And this document that we've made available at votinginfo.net will show you what those positions are. Let's be informed citizens. Let's be active citizens. Let's be citizens who want to understand and defend the Constitution of the United States, not the Constitution of another country. You know, we see with some liberal activist judges in their decisions, instead of taking as their guiding light the Constitution of the United States, they're going and taking guidance from constitutions of other nations. We respect the other nations. But the role of a judge, the role of all of our public servants, is to uphold and implement the Constitution of the United States. And furthermore, it's not a document that you get to rewrite. When a judge is judging a case, he or she has to apply the Constitution and the laws as they are written and with the meaning that the original writers intended. If there's a need at times to amend the Constitution, it's a steep hill to climb. There's a lot of consensus that has to emerge, but that can be done, and it has been done, and it will be done again. But the point is, brothers and sisters, it's a document that's been given to us with a specific meaning. It's not something that we simply rewrite to suit our own fancy or, God forbid, to suit the political views of a particular judge who is ruling. That's why in this election we have to be very careful to elect those who are going to put the right kind of judges on our courts, not those who are going to put their own opinions out, but those who are going to judge according to this Constitution, which we celebrate today as we celebrate the fact that we are citizens both of earth and of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul tells the Philippians, and from there we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be praised today, and may he bless these great United States of America and the world. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.